You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the action on Thursday. Of course, it is the second day of York's Ebor Festival, which we're all very excited about. There's also action at Stratford, Chepstow, Bumwell and Hamilton. If you prefer that, a slightly lower grade day-to-day action, there's that for you as well. Mark Welton, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount will be looking at all the racing from 1:30 on Racing Radio on Thursday. But for now, my name's John Gimmie and Andrew joins me now to look ahead to the day. How's it going, Andrew?
Fine until I got to the car park over the road, pulling into William Hill Towers, and there was complete and utter carnage thanks to a kid's party at Leeds Arena finishing and everyone trying to get out the car park as people were trying to get into it, and a car broke down, and took me over an hour to park.
There's got to be some wealthy parents if their kids having a party at Leeds Arena.
Yeah, very possibly. But, by the time I left, the police had arrived to sort out one or two incidents, and the Red Cross were delivering food parcels. So I've no idea what's happening over there now. It could have developed into a Lord of the Flies scenario, but we'll see.
Well, thankfully, you are safely with us here at William Hill Towers. And we're in a sort of limbo here to an extent, Andrew, because when we're recording this, we've only had one race on the first day of the Ebor Festival. So we don't, you know, by the time people are listening to this, they'll know who's won the Jumbled International and the Great Voltigeur and races like that. Yet we are still blissfully
unaware.
That's
right, but we have a lot of information from that first race because, one, the going has changed from good to soft, soft in places, and they certainly seem to be splashing up plenty of water in that first race. And it's given us a good clue about the draw as well. And I discussed the draw prior to that race, and in fields of 15 or more runners in sprints at York since the start of last year, some stalls 12 or higher have just had one winner from 159 runners. And that's even worse now, that figure, after we saw Desert Law, I think it was from stall 6, once adjusted for the non-runners, leading home runners drawn 3 and 1. So those who raced far side of centre dominated. It'll be interesting to see if that draw bias is repeated later this week.
It will indeed. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the ground as well, because it was such a quick change. I mean, we know that the going at York can be a bit funny. It can change quite quickly when they have a bit of rain. But apparently it was absolutely biblical there. It was absolutely biblical here in Leeds this morning as well. So I think it's been washing all across the north of England. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the ground and how that will affect the racing for the rest of the week. And speaking of the racing for the rest of the week, one of the features of the Ebor Festival, of course, is the Nunthorpe Stakes. And we've had the final field declared this morning, and we've got 12 going to post. I mean, I'm not remembering correctly, but I think this is a slightly smaller field than you'd usually get for this race. It's been set up, this 5 furlong Group 1, as a clash between Lady Aurelia and Batash. They are two of the 12 in the field. Andrew, do you sort of subscribe to that narrative that it is between these two horses?
No, certainly not. Talking of the field size, which you mentioned there, last year there were 19 runners. I remember this well because I bet Thesme each way at 100 to 1 and 66 to 1, and she's finished fifth, and I was on for four places, beaten ahead for fourth. We've just seen her place in the opener on Wednesday. She clearly loves York.
From a low draw as well.
That's right. That race was, say, Mecca's Angel last year. And for the last 2 years, we've had a field of 19 runners. When Soul Power won this in 2014, there were 13 runners. Normally a bigger field. 12 runners. Still might be a slight advantage to be drawn lowish, as you're going to be on what's probably the quickest strip. Batash is coming out of stall 9 or 12. Now, I'm an admirer of this horse. I bet him when he won at Sandown a couple of runs ago, as he was well drawn. A qualifier on my Sandown Sprint stall 1 or stall 2 system. And last time out at Goodwood, again, very impressive, but he was perhaps, you know, flattered by the draw that day. He was drawn widest of all towards that far rail, which was a huge advantage at Glorious Goodwood. And he came out of stall 1, beating Profitable into second, who was drawn wider. So at the respective prices, I thought, you know, Batash might be vulnerable. Lady Aurelia, 6-4 favourite, has been off the track for more than a couple of months. and you know, is yet to race at York. Seems particularly suited by Ascot, as a lot of offspring of Scat Daddy do. So yeah, there's a couple of doubts there. We'll probably make the running towards that far side from stall three, will Lady Aurelia. But the pair are 6-4 and 15-8 respectively or thereabouts. And I think I'm going to be looking for some each-way value against the two. And the one I've come down on the side with is priceless for Clive Cox. Now, I'm pleased to see this one's come out in stall two, drawn next to the likely pace setter, Lady Aurelia. You know, she was poorly drawn at Goodwood last time. The ground was perhaps a shade too soft for her, so hopefully it'll dry out between now and Friday. And, you know, her 5 furlong record is 3 wins from 6 starts, improving to 2 from 2 on dead flat tracks. I think York's really going to suit her. And if it dries out, offers of about 33-1 are going to look generous.
In fact, you can get 40-1 at the time of recording.
Oh, even better.
Even better. It's looking like some very decent types here in the field. Of course, Marsha, who we saw win that really good race at Newmarket earlier in the season, profitable just a knife by Batash last time. Washington DC won his first group race in Ireland the other day. I absolutely love this horse, and Luke Elder from William Hill has told me that if he wins this race, he will take me out for a steak dinner, because he is so confident that Washington DC does not have what it takes in Group 1
I hope you got that in writing.
Well, I'm actually a vegetarian, so you know, if it comes good, then it doesn't really matter. But anyway, the pick at the prices will be priceless.
Yes, indeed.
Lots of P's in that sentence. Right, that's the Nunthorpe Stakes. Comes up on Friday, the Group 1, the feature that day of the Ebor Festival. Let's turn our attention to the action on Thursday now. We'll have a look at the first 4 races. Of course, those are the ones that will be televised, but you can hear all the action on William Hill's Racing Radio as usual. And we start with what I always find to be a fascinating race here, the Goss Premier, the Premier Yearling Stakes, the 6 furlongs for 2-year-olds, of course. And you always get a few in this race, Andrew, always find, who have been had very, very busy 2-year-old seasons, been campaigned quite frequently, and then a couple less exposed runners who are sort of maybe just had a couple of runs and this is their first run in a big race. But at the moment, we're Great Prospector is 3-1 favourite, 9-2 for Hay Jonesy, De Bruyne the Horse is 5-1, Dark Anna 8-1, 10-1 for Rufus King, Alba Power 12-1, 14-1 for Tangle, 20-1 and bigger for the rest. What do you make of this race?
Yeah, you're right to talk about experience here. You're looking at the last 5 winners, all had at least 4 runs, and none of those won last time out either. You know, 4 of the 5 had finished second, third or fourth, but yeah, it's not always one that goes to the obvious sort of flashy unbeaten horses, so perhaps sometimes pays to think outside the box. That we hopefully get to use the draw to narrow the field down as well, and if Wednesday's bias is repeated, then we'll be looking for those drawn low to middle, and some of the ones that take the eye. Tangle for Richard Hannon, winner of this. The Hannon Yard won this race last year, and this was was impressive last time out at Newmarket, winning by over 3 lengths, over 7 furlongs on fast ground. It's just whether he's going to handle the softer conditions here would be something of a concern. William Haggis has won this 3 times in the last 4 years, but sadly is not represented today, because that's normally the default way into this race, just you know, picking one of his runners. And Alba Power would be an interesting one as well for Hugo Palmer, coming out of stall 5 with James Doyle on top. This one tried 7 furlongs last time out in a listed contest at Ascot, finished 3rd and perhaps didn't quite see it out that day. It had earlier been running well over 6, finishing 5th to Card Sharp in the July Stakes, a Group 2 at Newmarket, and winning at Yarmouth. So, yeah, perhaps back down in class here, I'm going to side with Hugo Palmer's Alba Power.
Alba Power for Andrew in the first race, the 155 Goss Premier Yearling Stakes on the second day of the Ebor Festival. Something I've just picked up on here. Interesting to see Frankie Dettori riding for Richard Fahey on Guzman, a 33-1 shot. Frankie doesn't get on a lot of 33-1 shots, and I can't imagine rides a lot for Richard Fahey either.
Well, I can tell you that I have the stats at my fingertips.
You're now going to say he's been riding for him every week, but
Here we go. Frankie Dettori for Richard Fahey, just 2 winners from 21 runners in recent seasons. A further 7 of those placed, but a loss if you'd back them blind.
Well, let's not follow that that particular stat then, and let's move quickly onto the second race on the Thursday at York, the 225, 6 furlong Lava Stakes, of course, for 2-year-old fillies. We've got a 9 going to post in this one. Madeline is 3-1 favourite. Actress 4-1. Also 4-1. Happy Like a Fool. Threading is 9-2. 6-1 for Special Purpose. Natural is 10-1. 20-1 for Mamba Noir. So High Society 25-1. And Neola is 40-1. What do you make of this one then?
Yeah, another fascinating contest. And this is a race that has tended to go to a last time out winner. The last 6 had scored on the most recent outing. Indeed, 7 of the last 8 had as well. William Haggis has won it twice. Richard Hannan has run it, won it 3 times in the last 9 years. So there's certainly a couple of yards to look at. And so looking at the last time out winners from one of those yards certainly brings in the Haggis runner here. Special Purpose, ridden by Oisin Murphy. I think we're 6-1 about this one. A winner at Lingfield on debut, that's 5 furlongs on good ground, and then certainly cope with a slower surface when winning very comfortably at Beverley. So up to 6 furlongs for the first time, the trip should suit, and I expect Special Purpose to go well. Madeline, another one of interest, this one trained by Inform Roger Varian. 4 runs to date, winning 2 of them, beating Natural comfortably at Newbury last time. That was in the listed Rose Bowl Stakes, 6 furlongs on a good to soft ground. So that one should have no problem with conditions as well, having won over this trip on a flat track and on similar going. So it's tricky. It's very tricky and open. I think at the prices, I'll just side with the unbeaten Special Purpose for York expert William Haggis.
Special Purpose for Andrew. Got to put in a mention for Threading. I absolutely love the way she won her maiden. I think it was a Goodwood last time out. Won it in fantastic style. But sometimes with these horses, it just is about taking that step up from that level to a Group 2 isn't always the easiest.
That's right. It was filly's maiden, 6 furlongs on soft ground. She destroyed them by 6 lengths and was a 12-1 shot that day. So sort of amazed if she'd been showing a lot at home that she managed to go off at that price. But that win wasn't, although visually impressive, it wasn't backed up by a fancy speed figure. So I'd just be concerned about the step up in grade here.
Well, Special Purpose section for Andrew in that race, the 225, the Lava Stakes. Move on now to the 3 o'clock. It's a 1 mile handicap for horses aged 3 and above. We've got a maximum field of 20 runners here and some nice types in this race. Some horses who have won some good handicaps so far this year. Victory Bond, 8-1 favourite with us here at William Hill at the moment. Chelsea Ladd at 9-1, also 9-1 El Hayam. And Ronald R is also 9-1. 11-1 for Flaming Spear. El Vip is 12-1, also 12-1. One Word More. Blair House 14-1. Kassam 14-1. 16-1 and bigger for the rest. What takes your eye here, Andrew?
There's only one word for this race, and that's help. So it's incredibly tricky. Firmament is interesting. Last year's winner, got a you know, a lot higher this time around, but he's been running in some decent races, and he really caught the eye at Salisbury last time out when running in a Group 3 won by Ballet Concerto. It was a big advantage to race towards the far side at Salisbury that day, and Firmament was slowly away, was held up off a slow gallop, and was pulled towards the middle of the track to challenge. And although finishing only 5th of the 6 runners, was beaten by less than 2 lengths, but obviously the concern is the much higher mark than last year and the slower ground. But I certainly wouldn't exclude Firmament if you're having looking to do a place pot at York on Thursday, because I'd certainly give him a chance. Should also pay to have a second look at the other O'Mara runners, given that he's got a good record in this race. He's won it a couple of times in the last few years, and he has Mythical Madness and Bravery as well as Firmament. And I could what price is Bravery here?
Bravery at time recording 22-1.
Yeah, that would certainly be of interest. Ran at Glorious Goodwood in the opening race, won by Fabricate and Dark Red, who fought it out, and then the result was reversed in the steward's room. It was perhaps not ideally suited by sort of coming from off the pace and challenging down the middle of the track. So I'm just going to go for a sporting selection on Bravery, who won the Lincoln on his debut for David O'Mara back in April, his first run since leaving Aidan O'Brien.
Bravery the main selection in the race then?
Yes, indeed.
Bravery the one. I've got to say, I absolutely love the claims of, oh, this is us in the race, but I think the ground's gone against them now.
I was going to say, when I think of this horse, I'm thinking of decent ground. Yeah. That would be my concern.
I think if dropping back down from group company, I think he's just about on a workable mark. I would have liked him, but I think it needs to be a bit faster for him.
Because it was good to Soft when he finished a neck second to Bravery in the Lincoln back in April. But you look at his wins, they've all come on the all-weather or officially good or good to firm going.
The same problem with El Astronaut in the first on the Wednesday, but it was a non-runner in the end. But anyway, enough about my punting perils, and on to the feature race on the Thursday of York's Ebor Festival. That is, of course, the Yorkshire Oaks, and here, Andrew, we really do see the star attraction of the day. That is Enable, the dual Oaks Heron, well, technically the triple Oaks Heron, if you want to count Chester in there as well. And, of course, the King George winner in very impressive style is 2-7 favourite to get the job done for Gosden and Dottori once again here in Group 1 company. Neswar is then 8-1, also 8-1 for Queen's Trust. Coronet 16-1, 28-1 for both Abingdon and Alluringly. Can you see any way past Enable in this race?
Generally, when I'm up against a short price favourite, I try to find a way of getting them beat and, you know, look for something at a bigger price, but it's really difficult here. I mean, the concern would be if they had a lot more rain overnight. That Ascot win came on good to Soft going. She's yet to race on anything quicker. And, you know, she was described as having taken a keen hold that day. She tends to be held up. You just wonder, with a small field, no cover, on softer ground than she's encountered before, whether she will fail to settle, and perhaps something else in a race that looks largely devoid of pace, you know, can nick it. So that would be my only concern with Enable. But, you know, gun to my head, she's probably going to hack up and win very impressively. So, but if I was punting in the race, I'd be looking to back something each way against her. And you're immediately drawn to Neswar with Roger Varian being in such good form. The filly's unbeaten this season, last time out winning at the Curra.
She's been the big talking horse really of the week in terms of potentially a rival for Enable.
That's right. I mean, she won, you know, she had Rain Goddess over three lengths back in second when winning the Pretty Polly. She was, you know, equally impressive when winning at Ayr first time out. And you know, but again, she hasn't raced on anything softer than good in her career, so, and she's had more opportunities to do so than Enable. I mean, Abingdon's half interesting as well for Sir Michael Stout. Potentially the pace angle in the race as well. Did come from the back when beaten at short odds at Deauville last time, but the time before at Haydock was described as always handy. At Pontefract when winning before that, track leaders. So you just wonder if they're going to try and do something a little bit different with Abingdon and maybe make the running. But again, it's the ground. You know, unless it dries out, her best efforts have come on good or quicker going. So, yeah, we really are struggling. Queen's Trust, another Sir Michael Stout runner, this one ridden by Jim Crowley, was last of six behind Winter at Glorious Goodwood in the Nassau Stakes. But, you know, possibly, you know, not ideally served by that track and the very soft conditions. So, and again, you look at her record on officially good to soft or softer, fifth, fourth, and sixth. So, you know, taking 8-1 about that one wouldn't really be the idea either. So you might end up coming down the side of Coronet, the Gosden second string. This one ran okay behind Subetsu on officially soft ground at Deauville on her reappearance back in May. And since then, perhaps struggled to handle the track at Epsom, went fifth to Enable, and then bounced back to win at Ascot in the Ribblesdale, of course, beating Morrey of Sir Michael Stout's into second. So, you know, again, she saw the back end of Enable last time out. That was at the Curra. But I'm going to go for the stable-made each-way Coronet against the likely leader Enable. Might also be interesting in the betting without the favourite market.
Be an each-way selection or betting without.
Definitely.
Yeah, fantastic. Coronet then for Andrew in the Yorkshire Oaks. But Enable, of course, going to be very, very difficult to beat in that. As with all the races we've discussed and the other two races on the card, you can hear it live on William Hill's Racing Radio. The programme gets underway from 1:30, and we'll also have the action from Stratford, Chepstow, Fontwell and Hamilton. Andrew, very quickly, do you want to just go back through your selections in the four races?
Yep, certainly. starting with the 155, the Goff's Premier Yearling Stakes. I'm with Alba Power for Hugo Palmer and James Doyle. Could be well drawn in stall 5. The 225, the Group 2 Lowther Stakes. I'm going to go with the previously unbeaten William Haggis-trained Special Purchase. Her trainer does well in this race. Then we're on to the 3 o'clock, desperately difficult handicap, the Clipper Logistics over a mile. Huge field here. I'm going for Bravery to bounce back to the sort of form that saw him win the Lincoln back in April. Finally, the 3:35, Enable will probably win, but she's a prohibitive price. I'm going to go for Stablemate, Coronet each way or without the favourite.
Andrew, as always, thanks for your thoughts on this edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast.
Cheers, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.